This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. It took everything President Obama had to pass the Affordable Care Act, and now he's got to make it work, and he's got a deadline of October the 1st. That's less than in 3 months. But already Obama has announced that one key feature will be delayed. That's the employee-employer mandate, which requires businesses with over 50 employees to provide health coverage to those employees. But the more central provisions of the law are moving forward, including the individual mandate and the online exchanges. Last week, President Obama delivered a speech at the White House about the Affordable Care Act, and where he explained how the law is already helping middle-class families and what will start happening on October the 1st.
Generally speaking, what we've seen is that health care costs have slowed drastically in a lot of areas since we passed the Affordable Care Act. We got a lot more work to do, but healthcare inflation is not skyrocketing the way it was. And because of this new rule, because of the fact that it improves the value of the coverage that you purchase, last year alone Americans saved $3.4 billion in lower premiums. That's $3.4 billion on top of these rebates. So that's just one way this law is helping middle-class families. But it represents everything the Affordable Care Act means for folks who already have insurance. Better benefits, stronger protections, more bang for your buck.
Now, Republicans in Congress take a different view. They argue that Obamacare is collapsing under its own weight and it is doomed to fail. Last week, the Republican-controlled Congress voted for the 39th time to do away with the health care reform law. Senator Mike Enzi, a Republican from Wyoming, delivered the weekly GOP address on July the 13th and called for a permanent Obamacare delay.
All across the country, health insurance rates are skyrocketing. Employees are losing coverage through their employers. Families are struggling to cope with higher costs and less choice. Businesses aren't hiring full-time employees. Generally, if it comes from Washington and it sounds too good to be true, it is. No one likes to be right when what's happening is affecting so many people in a negative way. The American people saw this coming. It's a shame the president didn't see it and didn't listen. It's time to admit that this partisan experiment in government-run health care is failing.
Right now, ready or not, on October the 1st, the healthcare exchanges will go live on the web. There's a lot of pressure on the administration for a smooth rollout, but that's going to be very difficult to pull off. Some states, like New York and California, have taken active roles in getting these exchanges up and running and recruiting folks to sign up. But other states, like here in Texas, haven't lifted a finger to help, particularly when it comes to educating the public about the exchanges and how they work, how folks can sign up, and what they can do for you and your family. The administration and healthcare experts have said that their biggest challenge, educating the public and getting young individuals who currently don't have insurance to sign up for the exchanges. Well, we're going to be talking about the Obamacare healthcare exchanges, and we want to crowdsource the issue with our listeners. Do you plan on signing up for them? Do you have any big questions about these healthcare exchanges? Have you had any positive or negative impact by the implementation of Obamacare so far? The number to call, 614-8980. Also, email your comments and questions to thesource@tpr.org. And joining me now on the line to talk about how things are going thus far with Obamacare, we have Dr. Jack Meyer. He's a managing principal with the Health Management Association. He's a professor at the University of Maryland School of Public Health. He's a public health economist. And also on the line, we have Tiffany Hoag. She's the director of statewide health care for the Texas Organizing Project. Welcome to The Source, y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
So let me ask you, Dr. Meyer, we're hearing two different things, that premiums are going down, and we hear that premiums are skyrocketing. So what's going on?
Well, they're certainly not skyrocketing. First, let's see what's at stake here. The median income in America is $50,000 a year. You take a family with that that doesn't have job-based insurance, with the employer paying most of that, they would have to pay something like $12,000 a year today out of an income of $50,000. Clearly unaffordable. Under the exchange, they'll be able to go in, get a subsidy for a good portion of that premium, which makes the difference in being able to afford it, and get a choice of plans. And if the law is enforced, not be turned down because they were sick last year, not be rated up because they're a female versus a male, and so on. So it's vitally important that we move ahead and try to implement this law. Healthcare costs are going up in America, but that's not because of the Affordable Care Act. It's because it hasn't been implemented yet, and we'll need to go beyond it. That's because we waste up to a third of our spending in this country on services that don't work and inefficiencies and so forth. But the real important point is that the federal government is going to be running these exchanges in about 26 of the 50 states, including Texas, because Texas is one of those states that decided not to build its own exchange like 17 other states are doing. And Texas has additionally decided not to play a role in enforcing the insurance market reforms that would limit the discrimination against older workers or women or sicker people. So the federal government will have to step in there, too. So there's a lot at stake. Are they ready to go now? No. Will they be ready on October 1st? Probably mostly. But the important thing is that the role of the federal government and the states will be a little bit like trying to move into a house that still needs a lot of repairs and doing those repairs while you're in the house. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be messy. Some things won't work, and you'll have to be fixing it while you're living there. And so we're going to need to be patient and not declare it a failure the first sign of a glitch.
Tiffany Hoag from the Texas Organizing Project, you're trying to get people signed up for the online exchanges. Do people even know what this is? Is the information getting out there?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple problems, right, is that the state is not helping in getting the word out. And the word that is getting out is predominantly negative, not so much from the state necessarily, but just misinformation about, oh, if I don't get insurance and I'm going to be fined. And, you know, that's, I don't think the right message to encourage people to look into the exchange. And so what we've really been focusing on is, you know, pulling people into workshops every other week in our different markets and really educating them on what we know thus far and more information as it comes available.
Now, there is something on the web now to look at. Are you encouraging people to go to that website and start, you know, clicking around?
I think for folks that feel comfortable with the Internet, then that's definitely a resource. You know, the Texas Organizing Project focuses on communities of low to moderate income, and so the Internet's not necessarily that accessible. And so we really focus on bringing experts to them in these workshops and going through, you know, what information do you need to have?
Right, and we're going to figure that out. We're going to try and help, see how we can help people who don't have Internet access or not computer savvy or able to sign up. We're going to continue this conversation. We've got to take a quick break. We're talking about the healthcare exchanges. They go live on the web on October the 1st, an important part of the Healthcare Reform Act. And we're going to be right back after this message. You're listening to The Source on KSTX.
Obamacare-nado. Just when you thought it was safe to go to the doctor.
Nearly 7 million Americans could lose their employer-based plans.
A rising tide of healthcare costs.
Many people have already seen higher premiums.
Nobody's safe from its wrath.
Doctors are turning more seniors away.
Obamacare-nado.
Obamacare has been wonderful for America.
Leaving a path of destruction through our economy.
This is a very good thing for the American people.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
The perfect storm is coming. Are you ready?
That's the Affordable Care Act getting the snarky Sharknado treatment from Crossroads GPS and Karl Rove. It's a movie trailer. It tries to make fun of Obamacare, but one could say that it's also making fun of the scale of doom saying that the GOP has against Obamacare. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act. A big part of that is signing up for these healthcare exchanges. That goes live on the web on October the 1st. first. With me to talk about that, Dr. Jack Meyer. He's a healthcare economist from the University of Maryland School of Public Health. Tiffany Hogue, she's the director of statewide healthcare for the Texas Organizing Project. We do want to hear from you, listeners. Give us a call, 614-8980. You got questions about healthcare reform, about how this is going to impact you and your job and your family, 614-8980. Dr. Meyer, why, you know, we hear all the scare and the doubt and the fear. So people are kind of like wondering what's going on here. How do they how are they supposed to make sense of what the law is when there's so much misinformation out in the world?
Well, there's a systematic campaign to discredit the law, and that's unfortunate. But I think the administration in Washington has not done a good enough job educating people about it. But look, there are 26 million people that live in the great state of Texas. 6.3 million of them are uninsured, and that's a hardship for hospitals who serve them without compensation, for counties who are injured by this, including Bexar County, close to home for you, and Harris County in Houston. The taxpayers get hurt. The taxpayers are shipping their dollars to Washington to help fund this program, but not getting the dollars back because the state has opted out of the Medicaid expansion and is not cooperating with the exchange. So they're subsidizing other states. This is not a good deal for Texas when they could put up a dollar and get $20 back in federal assistance, and it's certainly not a good deal for the indigent who will, you know, cycle through emergency rooms and neglect their care and get sicker, and we'll pay for that. So if you think about a family of four in Texas with $8,000 of income, $8,000 for a family of four, say somebody working at the minimum wage, they're not eligible for Medicaid in Texas because the standards of eligibility are so low. They'd have to get their income down by to $6,000 or below a family of four to do that. Yet a family of $80,000 a year can go to the exchange and get subsidized coverage, and a family with $800,000 a year, where the executive gets his health care from a corporation, maybe that's a $12,000 contribution by the company. $4,000 of that is a tax benefit to that family with $800,000 a year. So that's simply not fair. So we have to move ahead in a state like Texas, eventually, both with helping those people with $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 get into Medicaid, and helping people with $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year incomes who don't have good employer-sponsored, affordable coverage. They need an exchange, and Texas could help and partner with the federal government to build one where they could go, just like employed people who are lucky enough to have a job-based health insurance plan, get a choice of plan. If their income is $30,000 or $40,000, three-fourths of the premium for that family would be covered by a subsidy from the federal government. This can happen, but it's going to take an education campaign. A lot of Americans aren't aware of this, the features of this law and how it can benefit from them, for them, as well as the quality improvement and the preventive services that can be obtained without cost. So we need to help people and not frighten them.
Okay. Well, let me bring in another voice in the conversation. I've got Mimi Garcia. She's with Enroll America's Texas State Director. Let me get Mimi on the line. Mimi, welcome to The Source. How are things going with trying to get Texas residents, you know, informed about what the healthcare exchanges can do for them?
Great. Thank you for having me on. So we are getting started in getting consumers informed about the options that they have for health insurance coming in October. We've just started some of our consumer outreach and education. We wanted to make sure that people have a place to go when we're really hitting our stride and talking with lots and lots of consumers about it. So right now, we're just doing some of the early education, some of getting the concept out there that, you know, you will be able to find quality, affordable health care and get help paying for it and get help enrolling for it, enrolling in it. Just as the other speaker was saying, that most people have no idea that this is available to them. So we're starting to plant the seeds. But we're really going to be turning out in full force this fall, starting in September, and leading towards October 1st, which is when enrollment starts, to really kick up the message about enrollment. We want to have a place where people can go to start getting enrolled when they get the information and they know what's coming, that they can take that active approach.
So should people look for something being posted at their local library, or where do they go for information to find out where to get more information?
Sure. So Enroll America is taking a really multi-pronged approach here in Texas and really all over the country, that we expect that, you know, as we're wrapping up the summer and going into the fall, that we're going to be having door-to-door campaigns, going and knocking on doors in people's neighborhoods, having info tables at your local grocery store or, you know, pharmacy, also having working with local churches to speak about what's going on and that you're getting that message from your pastor. Right now you can go to getcoveredamerica.org to learn more about the campaign. You can also go to healthcare.gov to learn more about enrollment. But as the summer goes on, people will be getting more and more information. We are actually going to be working with public libraries as well as food banks and, you know, going to local barbershops and talking at your local taqueria and having signs up there as well. Like, we're doing a full broad scope of where folks will be getting the message.
So you're going to have boots on the ground, knocking on doors, telling people what's going on. Mimi, I want to thank you so much for calling in and joining our conversation as we talk to people about what's happening with Obamacare. And let's get back over to Tiffany Hogg. She's the director of statewide health care program at the Texas Organizing Project. Tiffany, what's the number? Oh, she's okay. We don't have Tiffany. Let me go back to Jack Meyer. And so What's happening in Texas, and with Texas using the federal exchange and other states like California coming up with their own, are Texans going to get a downgraded version of the exchange, or is that just, or would we be better off creating our own?
Oh, absolutely not. You won't get a downgraded version of the exchange. I think Texas had an opportunity to design the exchange in its own culture and climate, which many states have done, some 17 states, and I'm surprised that in a political climate where people are always talking about the federal government running things and let us do it our way, that they decided to opt out and let the feds do it. But having said that, they'll get the full benefits of the exchange. And the problem is, and your other guest pointed this out, this is a heavy lift. The administration may not be a dollar short, but it's a day late. It's a little bit late getting here. They are working extremely hard on this. But the most important thing to understand is whether it's a federal exchange, operated exchange in Texas, or a state-based in California or Maryland, that there are going to be problems, glitches, slip-ups. This has happened with other legislation, like the Children's Health Program, with the Medicare drug benefit. People are going to try to enroll and have a problem, and so the first few weeks of October and really through the fall, there will be problems, and the opposition will seize on that to say, aha, we told you so, let's scuttle this. But they have no plan B. So it's important that we not make the perfect the enemy of the good, that we realize that we're helping a lot of people and fix the problem. So the administration's going to need a full court press. It's going to need the cooperation of Tiffany's groups and others' groups, the Texas Center for Public Policy Priorities and other groups in Texas. It will need that help to kind of make the changes, improve the software, get people out, get the navigators, all the groups you're talking about, to help people. And if we're a little bit patient on this, when we look back in a few years, we will have helped an awful lot of Texans get affordable coverage.
I do have a question that came in online. What health care insurance coverage will individuals with a modified adjusted gross income under 138% of the federal poverty level do for coverage in Texas? In some other states, they would be eligible for Medicaid, but as you know, Texas is not participating. Will they still be able to buy in the insurance exchanges?
Well, unfortunately, people living in poverty, that is below 100% of the poverty line, will not be able to buy into the exchanges. That's why the sad part is the neediest of the needy in Texas will be left out. And the reason was Congress thought that the state, and this was before the Supreme Court ruling, made this Medicaid expansion optional, thought the states would do it. So they thought they had that covered. So what will happen is the counties will end up helping them at great expense. The hospitals and doctors will see them at no compensation. And so it's a serious problem, but most of them will be ineligible for Medicaid because of the state's decision, but also ineligible for the exchanges, so it's a catch-22.
Tiffany Hoag is back, director of the Statewide Healthcare for the Texas Organizing Project. Tiffany, when you talk to people about these exchanges and what it can do for them and their lives, do people, you know, do they get it? Do they understand? Do they see this, wow, this is going to be a lifesaver for me, or they don't get it yet?
So I certainly think people that have had an experience of being sick or their child being sick or their parents being sick or sickness in the family and not having health insurance, they immediately get it, right? It's, you know, it's a little bit more difficult or more of an education process for folks that, oh, I'm healthy and I'm young and I don't know if I really need it, you know, and you know, so it's more about, you know, you can't control accidents, you can't control injuries, you can't control sickness. You feel healthy one day, you could very easily be sick tomorrow and have thousands of dollars of bills. You know, and so I think, yeah, I mean, there's obviously many messages that have to kind of go out there.
Jack Meyer, Dr. Meyer, do you think that the push to delay the implementation of the individual mandate and the healthcare exchanges are going to be successful in Washington, or will this happen on October the 1st?
It won't be successful. I think, look, it's a shame we didn't get a bipartisan bill with some Republican support, but we didn't. And right now the House can go ahead and pass a law to void it for the 40th time after the previous 39th, but the Senate won't pass that and the President won't sign it. So we're going to get the individual mandate. We need the individual mandate so that younger and healthier people come in to the exchanges so they don't get discriminated against with just older and sicker people. This will move forward, but it'll be bumpy. So I think the fact that the administration delayed the employer mandate, while it kind of excited the opponents,
right,
we shouldn't think too much of that.
Dr. Meyer, thank you so much for joining us and explaining the health care law, how that's going to affect. Tiffany Hoag, director of Statewide Healthcare for the Texas Organizing Project. We come back for the news. We're going to talk about the book Moonlight Sonata at the Mayo Clinic. This is The Source.